affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid, 30 Second Warn.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Wow, Friday already. Phooey. The long, slow slide into the long, slow slog that is the weekend begins. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Welcome to all of you joining me from wherever you may be. We're tucked away in a secure, undisclosed location in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia. It's where we like to be. I don't know if I could stand it. I love cities, but you get accustomed to the country, the clean country living. Well, today. Now we saw it. We spent a good deal of time last night on Congressman John Murtha and his comments offered with regard to the Iraq War. And we predicted, me and that mouse in my pocket, who am I, Queen Victoria? We predicted. Seriously. I predicted that the slime fest would begin today. Little note to Congressman Murtha, sir. Stay off small aircraft. Do not visit any hotels in Arkansas.
It was a shame, Congressman. Murtha committed suicide. He fell on his knife 32 times.
Because the thugs and the punks will come after you. Well, they've already... My God! Now, I don't have slithering Scotty McClellan's sickening little comments today, but they lack these repuglicans. They lack any real genius for creativity. If it's not hateful and mean, they can't do it. So what did they come up with today for John Murtha? Bear in mind, John Murtha, 34 years in the Marines, 2 Purple Hearts, 1 Bronze Star with a V, the Vietnam Gallantry Cross, or whatever that medal is, retired a colonel, and then 31 years in the House of Representatives. Slithering Scott McClellan, habitué of the Austin gay bar scene. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's something wrong with being a hypocrite about that. But anyway, no, he came out and called John Murtha Michael Moore. Now, I don't have a problem with Michael Moore. But of course, that's code for the disgusting right wing. He's an American. There is no one
that the Republican Party will not slime. Even John Kerry, poor old John Kerry, who doesn't have any fight in him, came out and said today, I will not stand still for the swift boating of John Murtha.
And thanks, John. I mean, that tells you something. But Michael Moore... Dennis Hastert,
slimed him today. And this is the most beautiful one of all. Jean Schmidt. Jean Schmidt, the woman who defeated Paul Hackett in the congressional race last year in southern Ohio. Jean Schmidt called this man who spent 34 years in the Marines, two Purple Hearts, Bronze Star, V thingy on it, Vietnam Gallantry Cross. Jean Schmidt, whose only claim to fame is that she hates other women's uteruses so much she wants to control them and was president of Cincinnati Right to Life. Jean Schmidt, in the House of Representatives, called John Murtha a coward. John Murtha is a much... I don't agree with a lot of his politics. He's a Democrat, but he's one of those, you know, let's go kill a lot of people Democrats. And I don't generally agree with him. But the light went on for him. You can't blame him for that. And apparently he has a lot more restraint than the likes of me. Because if that leathery, tired, scrawny, squirrely, disgusting, self-loathing Jean Schmidt called me a coward, well, yeah, you know the fine print on the Hillrich and Bradsby baseball bats, the really fine print on the trademark? Yeah, you know where I'm going. Do you like baseball? I like baseball. Whack. Yes, dear.
Don't make me dump you.
I didn't say anything bad. Jean Schmidt. And of course, I guess it's a little bit of her shtick, because in her campaign against Paul Hackett, who had just gotten back from serving in Iraq as a Marine, Jean Schmidt called him a coward too. You gotta wonder what you have to do to be brave in Jean Schmidt's weird little uterus-despising Republican world. Maybe bomb an abortion clinic like Eric Rudolph. Maybe that's the benchmark of bravery for a filthy, Teutonic twit like Jean Schmidt. There is no end whatsoever to what the Republicans will do to someone who dares to speak up against their hateful, bloodthirsty, murderous policies. Oh my God, it's enough to... Dick Cheney, you know, he lost his backbone. Oh God. But the best part of all, John Murtha went on MSNBC today talking to, what's her name, Nora Roberts? Nora somebody. And we've got that. When we come back from the break, we'll give a listen to Mr. Murtha's appearance on MSNBC. This is Head On. Well, you know who I am. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At EnergyHog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil Energy Hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to EnergyHog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
What is the Fourth Estate?
You know, in the old days, it wasn't about the exclusive. It was about telling the truth. It was about making sure the truth was portrayed in the media, you know, in print and in television and on the radio. And now the news has become a manufactured item. Today news that today's media is complicit. And what we want to do and what we're going to do and what we are doing with the Fourth Estate is to create a place, well, if you will, a safe haven for the truth.
Fourth Estate Radio. It's again time to hold them accountable.
For the latest details, visit fourthestateradio.com.
Welcome back. Give a listen to Fourth Estate. Run by their website. Good stuff. 18 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And a reminder of the phone numbers, 877, if you need us to carry the freight, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. If, on the other hand, you don't, 304-658-3333, email to Bob at headonradio.com, Agnes at headonradio.com, that's A-G-N-E-S. And like I said, John Murtha made an appearance today on MSNBC with Nora Roberts, I believe is her name. And, she tried that right-wing media stuff with him. And you get the idea that this fella, you know, 34 years in the Marines could make you a little bit straightforward. It didn't play well with him. But he's a hawkish Democrat, but there are some Democrats who could probably take a lesson or two from him because he stayed on message. Check this out.
The American public is way ahead.
No, wrong one.
Of the
wrong
members
one.
Of Congress.
Stop it. Stop it. Wrong one. Try again. Yeah, we're still working the bugs.
Car- Congressman, let me ask you, despite your distinguished military record, yesterday you essentially were called a coward. Speaker Dennis Hastert said, we must not cower, and said you are delivering, quote, the highest insult
now, Nora,
to our
you guys have, Nora, you guys have a habit of trying to distract from the issue. I'm talking about the substance of the issue.
Nora,
I don't care what the speaker
slut.
Said. I don't care who supports what I'm saying. I'm saying what I have come to the conclusion after a year of studying this. I've been in the Congress 31 years. I've studied this issue, and world affairs has been my specialty.
That's what they want. They don't want information. These mainstream news outlets. They want fighting. They want quarreling. They want the cute stuff. You know, they like the screaming Bob Novak stuff, but he wouldn't give it to them. And the fact of the matter is, he made a monkey out of her. Of course, you know, with her, it's not such a challenge. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. There you are.
Hang on, fellas. It's going to be a bumpy night. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This guy is not going to put up with any grinning generalities or any of their BS.
No.
And he's not going to let somebody urinate in his face and tell him it's raining. Okay? And when you talk to a military person of his experience, they're not interested in any of this crap.
No, they're not.
They know exactly what the hell blood looks like and what it's like to see somebody's face blown off right next to you.
Yeah, and they don't think it's cute. You know,
it's not cute and it's not political. And this guy has realized that we're in the same position that the French were in Mexico in 1863, 1867, the same place the Russians were in when they fought Japan back in 1905, and the same place we were in Vietnam. We're fighting an unwinnable war. Period.
Yeah.
We went in there with so-called shock and awe. We didn't pay any attention to the details of the support ministries that were supposed to follow this government to try to at least get some type of democratic system working. All generalities taking a shotgun approach. And you see where it's gotten us.
Yeah. 2,100 people dead of our own, 100,000 of theirs dead. How much of the budget has this eaten so far,
Jim?
Oh,
I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. I mean, you know, you had one guy who got the American Medal of Freedom, and he dropped $8 billion somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah. And, I caught a newspaper story today. I mentioned it briefly last night. The Coalition Provisional Authority, their bureaucrats were in the bribery business.
Well,
turns out
this whole thing has been a cash cow for the Republicans and their rich friends. You know it, and I know it. And they've made billions and trillions of dollars off the blood and sweat, toil and tears of Americans and innocent Iraqis. And, you know, this is not going to continue. It can't continue. And our country, I don't know, where I used to be around, they taught the art of war by Sun Tzu at Leslie A. McNair in Washington or at Carlisle Barracks in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But I must be damned if the brass hat sure ain't reading it. They might be teaching it to the lower echelons. But they need to start paying attention because they've ignored every rule outlined in that book.
Well, Jim, when it comes to the really high brass, the president makes his choices for the Joint Chiefs.
It's all political.
Right. So, you know, the guys that aren't reading it are the Bush. I mean, my God, they're Richard Myers, Tommy Franks. They're Bush cronies who wanted this all along.
Listen, let me put it to you this way. As far as George Bush is concerned, if you're in the military, unless you're willing to go down, you don't stay around. Okay?
Yeah.
And they get rid of him, like they did Shinseki. Okay?
Sure.
He told them the truth 3-4 years ago. And, you know,
got cashiered for it.
Exactly. Or was given an opportunity. An offer he couldn't refuse, as they would anybody who was willing to tell them the truth. And this guy, these people up there are listening about as well as the Tsar did before the revolution broke out, and they're bringing ruin on our heads.
Well,
ruin.
And they've got the Iraqi generals coming out against Mirtha now. There was a comment from some guy today.
Well, you know what's going to happen to them if we leave over there? It's the same thing that happened to Maximilian when the French troops left Mexico. They shot him.
Yeah. Everybody that's been one of our puppets is you know, and I understand them not wanting us to leave because they know they're dead people the minute
well,
we do.
Well, we better get a passport. We better just get them on out of there.
Yeah, just like we did. What was his name? The general in Vietnam that wound up running a florist shop or a 7-Eleven or something in California.
I don't know, but I'll tell you something. The whole thing has just gone on too long. And now, you know, there's a crack in the dike, and that, I don't care what they can do. They can put their fingers, they can put their whole bodies in there, but it ain't gonna, it's not going to stop leaking. And that is going to be a flow that's going to go right through there. And, you know, let's face it, we made a mistake. We can't throw good money after bad. And as far as these so-called chicken hawks around here are concerned, like Jeff and some of those other people, who are always saying, let's try to have something good in Vietnam. Well, I can tell you one thing right now. I'll be glad to meet them, okay? Anywhere, anywhere. And they'll be wearing one portion of their anatomy for earrings and another portion of their anatomy for a garter.
Oh, man. Might be a long weekend, Jim.
I don't like to see people get killed.
No.
I've had to deal with that all my life. I don't like it. It's not pretty.
It's not sexy. It's not fun. It's not cool. It's not heroic. It's not all neato keen like you get in the movies, is it?
This is a bloodletting operation which we are performing up on our own body.
And screwing up. And screwing it up.
You know, this country, we are dying by exsanguination. Or bleeding ourselves to death through blood and treasure. And what do you tell these mothers and fathers who've got a son or a daughter who's...
Well, if you're George Bush, Jim, you tell them that we need a few...
Have the balls to even go up there and say hello and tell them he's sorry.
Well, that's true, too. Hey, Jim, we got to hit the break. Well said, sir. Very well said.
Good night.
Bye now. And when we come back, Mr. Murtha, in that same interview... He made a rather salient point about the nature of the attacks on him. We'll check it out on the other side of the break. This is Head On.
Our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
A new girl who was almost a lady. She had a way with all the men in her life. Every inch of her blossom and beauty. She was born on the 4th of July. Well, she lived in an aluminum house trailer, and she worked in a jukebox saloon, and she spent all the money that I give her just to see the old man in the moon. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light, but much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise. Well, we'd go out on Saturday evenings to the driving on Route 41, and it was there that I first suspected that she was doing what she'd already done. She said, "Johnny, won't you get me some popcorn?" And she knew I had to walk pretty far. And as soon as I passed through the moonlight, she hopped into a foreign sports car. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in a dawn's early light, but much to my surprise, when I opened, I was a victim of the Great Compromise. Well, you know, I could have beat up that fella, but it was her that had hopped into his car. And many times I fought to protect her, but this time she was going too far. Now, some folks, they call me a coward, 'cause I left her at the driving that night. But I'd rather have names thrown at me than to fight for a thing that ain't right. I used to sleep at foot of Old Glory and awake in a dawn's early light, but much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise. Well, she writes all the fellas love letters, send greetings, come and see me real soon, and they go and line up in the barroom, spend the night in that sick woman's room. But sometimes I get awful lonesome, and I wish she was my girl instead, but she won't let me live with her, and she makes me live in my head. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory.
You know, that song could bring tears to your eyes. Tunes too, I guess. But, you know, John Prine wrote that when it was a Vietnam response. And everything old is new again. Same lies, same crap, different war. Same blood, different dirt. Yeah. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And the phone numbers, of course, 877-443-2366 and 304-658-3333. Use either one at your convenience. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. I just got an email from our pal, Peter in Tallahassee, telling me that The chat is up and running at in Tom Hartman's chat room and folks online. Thanks for joining us again tonight. It makes it a lot more fun. And by the way, I mentioned Gene Schmidt in the first half hour. Crooksandliars.com has a picture of this woman. Oh, saucer of milk for table two, Agnes. Crooks and Liars has a photograph of this woman at the very top of the page. Oh, go have a look. Look at this woman who had the nerve to call John Murtha a coward. Oh, Lord, she looks like one of the bad, you know, one of the mean characters out of a Harry Potter movie, for Christ's sakes. Let's go straight to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're head on. I think we're going to be a little mean tonight.
Oh, no, Bob, you're going to be intensely truthful, which, you know, as far as the Republicans are concerned, that's mean. But let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Some of your PSAs, you know, some people have this to say, some people have that to say, but there's a real tie-in to what's going on, and I love that one about art in school.
Yeah, I put that there for a reason.
Well, I'm going to tie into it. I'm going to coattail that bigger than Dallas. You got a kid on that thing that says Louis Armstrong is first guy on the moon. And
yeah, one giant step for Louis.
Nureyev's a hockey player, and Caravaggio, well, never mind the fact that the man invented perspective as we know it in the 14th century and created the human body that looked like a human body. So, no, he's that mob guy. Those yeah. are the kids.
I love that. I love that PSA.
Oh, and we all should, because it should all put us in mind of getting involved in some way to be part of what those kids hear and see, because they're either going to listen to you or they're going to swallow Fox.
Oh, that's just...
They're going to listen to you. They're going to read and think for themselves, and if they choose, after reading and thinking and thinking and reading and writing and reading and thinking, to say, I don't agree with Bob, God bless them for it, but if all they do is think Caravaggio is a Sopranos character and they watch Fox, the way to hell just got paved with, you know, really smooth, wide, easy to travel roads, but yep. That's just one of the things I wanted to talk about.
And the tracks are greased. You're absolutely right.
You're exactly right. I want to put a little background piece of information out there for you wingnuts that are swallowing it and swallowing it whole about Representative Murtha. You got to look at someone's motive. You know, as a teenager a long, long time ago, you read a few books, and it's like maybe a crime novel here and there, and you, motive, what's the motive? Bob, I have followed politics and what people want to say about politics, I think in an above-average fashion, and Lord knows you have. I never heard of Representative Murtha. I didn't know the man existed. And you may not have more than a glancing, glancing acquaintance with the fella, but he's been in the House of Representatives. What is it? 30 years?
31.
And I did a little Google stuff. And going back a few years, the short version is, if anybody can tell you what the boot-on-the-ground soldier thinks, feels, knows, if anybody can connect you to the skinny 2 years, 4 years, 10 years ago, that was the guy, is the guy. So all you wingnuts, you better be careful. Because you're challenging a guy that has the most important parade ground and battlefield cred going. You are absolutely taking on a guy that will cream you.
Oh, the thing is, David, they don't care. They'll slime.
No, they don't.
They'll slime anybody because they are almost subhuman.
And I've got a little something on that, but I want to go what's the Monty Python thing I love so much? And now for something completely different.
Exactly.
How many block layers did Walmart lay off the other day? Was it three or was
four?
Four. All right. In your previous incarnation, I was good or bad, you know, depending on the caller's point of view. I love to take a pencil, a legal pad, and a $4 calculator and see what it can mean. Let's say that a prevailing wage guy, entry-level mason, is going to get $18 an hour.
Yeah.
If he doesn't work overtime, he's going to get about $2,880 to start with for 4 weeks, which means that 4.2 weeks in the average month is about $3,000 a month. Now, I heard Jim say, not Jim, I'm sorry,
Wayne.
Yeah. I heard Wayne say it was 4 cents per, what was it, 4 cents per hundred?
Per dollar.
Per dollar.
Yeah. Four cents on the dollar difference between North Carolina workers' comp and West Virginia workers' comp.
That means that a West Virginia guy laying block costs somebody $120 on the average month without overtime. And you have four of them. That gets to be $480
yeah.
a month. And it's going to take maybe 60 days to build that entire Walmart, if that. And the block land part of it will be less than that. So we got $480. Let's say it's 2 months. Let's round it up to 1,000. Typical construction cost for a building that size is around $2 million. So for about...
Yeah, but that $1,000 is going to break them, man.
For $1,000, they got four guys walking every back road, every gas station, everything they touch. They're going to say, "Wow, Walmart fired me because I live here." How good would it have been for them? How short-sighted, how stupid is it for them to run that guy off? You could have had a union mason saying, "Well..."
No, it wasn't even a union issue, though, David. I mean, these guys...
It was prevailing wage. But you
no, these, this wasn't even prevailing wage.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, you could have had a guy from the area that's
yeah.
by the store saying, "Well, I don't know what else Walmart is, but I got 2 months of good work out of those people every time they met somebody. So for a lousy $1,000 in workman's comp differential... They could have had four ambassadors. Now they got guys saying...
Well, now you got Wayne on TV.
Well, of course you do.
Telling the whole region.
Walmart has the money and the backing and the connection to subvert and ruin and destroy whatever those men say, which brings me around to my last point. You've got a little background with journalism.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that woman stood up in Congress today and said, "I got an email from a veteran," and I think you probably, I missed the first 10 minutes of the show. I thought, yeah, your time, I was about 12 minutes after the hour. She said, "I got an email from a veteran," and you probably played that clip, right?
No, that I don't have that clip. Please, elucidate.
I got to hear it. I got to hear her voice. And I want to be factual about this, and I want to be, I don't want to become emotional. I want to stay away from any kind of comedic voices. She said, "I got an email from a veteran," and the veteran says he has two messages. First, to the American citizen, he wants everybody to know we should stay the course. And we should prevail because it's the right thing to do. And the House of Representatives went, "Okay, fine, you know, yawn, snooze, scratch." And then she said, and what Representative Murtha's first name?
John. Jack, said, sometimes.
She said, "John, he has a message for you. And his message is, cowards don't cut and run. Marines never give up. John, cowards never cut and run. or cowards always cut and run. Marines never give up. And at that moment, several voices began to howl in the house. And at that moment, I had to pull off the road. I was listening to that on radio, and I had to pull off because from a journalistic standpoint, here is a woman speaking to the House of Representatives, and she says, I have an email from a veteran. Maybe it's a veteran. Maybe it's a plant. Maybe she never had it. Maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's a 14-year-old just deciding to play with her.
Some freeper, yeah.
And then she calls a man that was willing to give a Purple Heart to an undecorated veteran because his wounds came from friendly fire.
Yeah.
He lost hands, among other bodily functions. He would give away a Purple Heart he had earned in Vietnam to that other soldier. And she stands there and with no substantiation, no real proof, no background to do that, she says, and he calls you a coward. Now, I'm paraphrasing, he called you a coward.
Yeah.
But here's a woman that, based on study of voices, can't be more than 45 years old.
Oh, maybe, she's awful.
Maybe she lost a relative. She's never served. But in terms of old-fashioned journalism, she takes an email and stands in the House of Representatives and throws coward at a man that has earned the trust and recognition of all the services. That guy, if you look up his record, the short version is, if anybody in the House of Representatives can speak for service people, it's him. And she throws that out there. And then later, oh, well, I retract.
Well, you know, the same thing happens in courtrooms.
And that's...
sir, when did you stop beating your wife? I object. Withdrawn. But it's still there. And you can withdraw it, you can retract it, but it's still there, and she called him a coward. And I read about it. I didn't hear the clip, David. I read about it, and it made my blood run cold.
It was, Bob, it was so snotty, and it was so casual, and it was so... It was disgusting.
It was cheap. It was catty. And more than anything else, where a Republican is concerned, David, for God's sakes, can we just realize it's cheap, it's catty, it's tawdry, and more than anything else in the world, damn it, it is par for the course.
That's the point I wanted established. They've tarred themselves with their own brush. I mean, if McCain had disagreed with what he did, which I don't ever expect to hear McCain, and I've got my differences with John McCain, but if John McCain differs with that man and he ever speaks publicly, I guarantee you the most he'll say toward that other soldier is, I don't see it the same way, or I'm not sure I can agree with that. It will be couched in something resembling reality. They don't bother with reality. They don't feel they need to. It's arrogance and cowardice welded together in the most ugly amalgam we may have ever seen in our nation.
But her whole history, remember, is nothing but ugliness and hate, because she was president of Cincinnati Right to Life or something before she went to Congress, David. You know, and we know what a gang of morally bankrupt, ethically dead, the flesh-eating thugs the Right to Life movement is.
Once you're born, we don't care.
Yep. Once you're born, we'll send you to Iraq, and if you die over there, we'll call you a coward.
Yeah, just flip burgers for the first few years, you know, make a favor out of yourself in schools that we don't fund properly unless you're quite wealthy, because, you know, as Republicans, we do believe if you don't inherit it, you didn't deserve it.
Oh, God, that's great. David, thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. I love the chance to talk to, all those that'll let me talk.
Well, you've been heard. Take care.
Thanks, Bob.
And let's roll it along. Chris has been waiting. Hey, Chris, you're head on. Yo, Chris. Chris? Put him back on hold. No, you dumped him. Okay. We're still learning how all these magic buttons work. You know, the manual's not that thick, but it's like Tolstoy. It's dense with information.
I'm sorry, Chris. Please call back.
Okay. Well, how very non-Republican of you, dear. David mentioned a couple of things. Well, there's Chris now, I'll bet.
Okay, hold on.
Just go straight to air, dear. There you are, Chris.
Hey, hey. Politics is the art of preventing people from taking part in affairs which properly concern them.
Who said that?
Paul Varee, one of my favorite writers.
Okay.
The reason they're having such a problem with this man, he's been in Vietnam, he's still a coward. He can't prove that he killed children or he molested children. And then the Republican Party, my God, if you can't prove that.
Well, yeah.
Well, what are you, a coward? Join a church. Molest somebody. Be a person. Sound off like you got a bear. Why not? Right?
Yeah. And of course, let's see. Hang on. I've got another soundbite. Let's listen to it, Chris. He noted in this interview with this snotty little news babe. Oh gosh, I guess that's sexist. Sorry, but she was just hateful. He pointed out the obvious. They're sliming him. They're not dealing with the issues. Here we go.
Are they attacking the substance of what I'm saying? Are they saying the incidents haven't gone from 150 a year ago to 770? Incidents meaning incidents against our troops? Are they saying the casualties haven't gone from one a day since Abu Ghraib gone to four a day? No, they're not answering those questions. They're attacking me. I mean, just because they say it. The president said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none. The president says there's an Al-Qaeda connection. There were none. He said there's a Niger connection. There was none. Just because the president says it doesn't make it so.
Isn't that beautiful?
Well, you know what Thomas Jefferson told George Washington?
What's that?
One insult pocketed soon produces another.
That's ain't that the truth?
That is the truth, babe.
I mean, they would just like it if John Murtha would drop dead.
Sun Tzu said there is no instance of a country having ever benefited from prolonged warfare.
And that was said how many thousands of years ago?
Quite a few.
And oddly enough, it somehow remains true.
Well, you know, I know every president that's ever started a war, gone into wars, you know, secretly they're saying, well, you know, this is a way to improve our economy. You know, it's going to get people working again.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are individuals who profit from prolonged warfare. I don't have it in front of me, but I guess there was an indictment unsealed today in North Carolina, and the fella is he's from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and was popped for soliciting bribes as a bureaucrat with the Coalition Provisional Authority. I mean, we're talking about cars, jewelry, clothing, yeah, the usual sleazy laundry list of, Mama needs a pair of new shoes. You know, Ferragamo pumps. Call Condi.
I was watching C-SPAN last night because that's what people like me do at 3 in the morning. And John McCain was grilling this somewhat young lady on the case of the lobbyist they're investigating.
Yeah, Abramoff.
Yeah. And, man, they had all the emails that they had exchanged. And McCain was just ripping into her. And you know what she kept saying?
What's that?
I don't recall.
Oh, the old Republican I don't recall defense.
I don't recall. It could have been this. I don't know. That was so many years ago. Man, I tell you what, you put a fright wig on Ollie North and it could have been just the same thing.
Yeah, to the best of my recollection, it's my recollection that I don't comprehend whether or not I have a sense of not remembering if I recall.
It's like the Newspeak Dictionary, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what it is. Oh, yeah.
Open up the grate and toss it in. It doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I didn't say. Yeah, and they do that. They just look. Oh, I didn't say that.
You can just take that Alabama LSU headline and just throw it in there, and it doesn't exist. And
yeah, and But Murtha's right. You know, they've called him a coward. They've said that he wants to cut and run. They've said everything under the sun about this man, but not once have they taken issue with the facts that he put out, that unemployment in Iraq is 60%, that the water projects are nowhere near to being completed or even attempted, that they can't make the oil flow, they can't make the water flow, they can't make the electricity flow.
It all comes down to one damn thing, and that is the truth. They would not get upset if they knew. They would not get so upset if they knew it wasn't true. They know it's true. They know it in their hearts that everything he said is true. That's why they're so mad. Otherwise, they would have just went, he said something. But they know he's right.
Yeah, they do. And that's why McClellan has to come out and call him Michael Moore.
Well, there's a rumor going around he's going to be leaving.
I've read that a couple of, yeah, you're right, because he's caught up in the whole plane business, too, for that honking lie he told the American people in the press corps. I went to Scooter Libby. I went to Karl Rove. I said, are you involved with it? And they both told me they weren't.
And the press has been in that room each day since all this started, has been warning him, Scott, if you just come out and tell us, it's going to be better for you in the future, when all this does come out, finally. They have asked him, and they have warned him, and they have pleaded with him, save yourself. You know, come clear with it now, or it's going to burn your butt in the future.
And I'm more than happy to see that happen. We got to roll, Chris. Later.
Like my buddy Jake Berry says, I'm casting my vote for the torch.
Me too. See ya. Bye now. All right. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Down by the Green River, where paradise lay. Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
Well, sometimes we travel right down the apartment you have on Park Street.
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Still, I'm not be bothered by your way.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, hour two, and like I said, the long, slow slide toward the slog through the weekend. Me and Mark Twain, Sunday, pulled through. But, you know, Monday's not that far away. And, of course, you know, next week's Thanksgiving week. And technically, no bosses here. So, I don't know. If I'm not, Agnes is the boss. If I'm not, yes, dear.
That's not true.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to, what's that woman's name again?
Jean Schmidt.
Jean Schmidt. Are you sure it's not Satan? I'm serious. If you put a pair of horns on that
She's
thing,
talking about the photo at Crooks and Liars, and it's not, yeah.
Now, honestly, this is coming from a woman, okay? This
really?
Isn't sexist. This isn't, you know, anything other than, oh, my God, she's like a car wreck. You have to look. You don't mean to. But what's the phrase that Wayne uses, the Serbian word?
Yeah.
Yeah, for she really wants a set, but she just can't quite come about it in the right way.
Well, she's a uterus hater, there's no doubt about it.
That woman has some serious personal problems. But to do this to this man.
Yeah, but she retracted it.
I don't don't care. That's, you know, that gives females everywhere the horrible name. That's why people look and go, well, you know, you need to go take some Midol. It's women like her that gives being a female bad name.
This editorial comment brought to you by Agnes, a genuine, guaranteed 100% female for some several years. I'm not going to give away your age.
Don't you go to sleep tonight.
I was being nice. Jeez, guy can't get a break. Now, anyway, what I was a little scheduling information. Next week, Agnes and I were talking about it last night, and if we're not just completely whacked out of our minds on tryptophan after the Turkey Day dinner, yeah, we may fire this thing up and do the show Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, if there's any interest. I mean, the entire nation will be whacked out of its mind on tryptophan, I guess. But, let me know. Just drop an email if there's any interest in a Thanksgiving night show. I can be here if you guys can. Let's go to the phones. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, you're head on. Sorry you had to wait, man.
Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. Callers are sounding pretty positive. Wonder how many agents they've got calming Representative Murtha's past history.
Oh, my God.
Trying to find anything negative.
Yeah, dead girl, live boy, the usual drill.
No, well, he's not a Republican. I don't think they'll find that.
That's true, too. But, you know, what do they need to find, Jethro? The man's record speaks for itself, and they still have the brass to call him a coward?
Right, and he's saying that his record speaks for itself. When all they've got some of these, these bubblehead reporters just, you know, trying to turn it into the Springer show.
Yeah, that's what that Nora What's-Her-Name so desperately wanted. She wanted it to embarrass him. She wanted him to embarrass himself and get him screaming real good. And the guy was in the Marines for 34 years, Jeff. Little girl, sit down. I've got to talk. You know.
Yeah. Homie ain't playing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is not playing. He knows what's up. I mean, everybody but the Bush administration is realizing what is going on. You know, and even Kerry, who was Waplin last year, he's has stepped out against it. I mean, the tide's turning. And, even the Pentagon knows it. And so now it's not how we're going to win. It's how we're going to get out and save face.
Well, you know, I'm easy, Jethro. We can call it victory.
Right. Well, and they're not calling it victory now. I think the Pentagon is terming it some kind of lotion.
Yeah, stability. Yeah, that's one of the buzzwords. But, you know, look, it's we do the framing here. If the Pentagon wants to declare, okay, guys, we win, let's go home, you know, I got no problem. Get them home.
Right. And then the liberal media, of course, will report the great victory.
Yeah, the great patriotic victory over Iraq, because Iraq attacked us on 9/11. It just makes your head hurt, doesn't it?
It's not happening, you know, the casualties. And some of the things that, you know, like Jim was saying, that, you know, he was saying we've got all this outdated equipment now that needs to be replaced, and it's stuck over there, and it's, you know, it's useless. And, you know, the vehicles and the troops are still not fully armored.
And I read a report the other day, Jethro, we're not planning on bringing anything home. All those up-armored vehicles, all those unarmored vehicles, the Bradleys, a lot of that stuff, we're going to leave for the Iraqi army.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound too good. Well, they'll be fighting over that. You know, when the Civil War happens, when we do leave, there's going to be no democracy. And you know what gets me is, you know, you get this thing, well, they're subhuman, they're dogs, they're this and that. Well, if they're subhuman and they're dogs, then... why are we over there pouring millions and losing all these men and expecting democracy to take root if they're subhuman and uncivilized? Where does that come from? They're not going to accept it anyway, but we're going to pour all this. I don't get the reasoning of these half-wits.
There is no reasoning, Jethro. That's why you can't get it. The people that are cannon fodder in the culture wars, you know, the middle class Americans who actually vote against everything that's in their own interest by voting Republican because they hear the buzzwords and they see somebody wave a flag or stick a yellow ribbon magnet on the back of their SUV, You know, they think that there's something to win. They think that there's a possibility of victory. The high-ups, they know that, look, it's profit. War is damn good business if you're in the right place at the right time. Beginning in the early part of the 20th century, the Bush family fortune was made in siphoning money through through the military procurement process.
Well, if you read the book that General Smedley D. Butler wrote, you know, war is a racket.
Yeah.
Right. And you're right. It doesn't matter who wins this war. If the country goes down to economic disaster, it doesn't matter who wins, who loses, or what. Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Romney, they're raking the dough in.
Yeah, this is all straight out of The Godfather, Jethro.
It's
you know,
bad.
this is that scene where Abe Vigoda looks and says, "Tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business." This is business. This isn't war. It's not patriotism. It's not national security. It's business.
Nothing personal. Strictly business. Yeah, I was reading this Zenfora journal. They were talking about these Jordanian bombings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this Zenfora claims that there was in these hotels, there was a meeting between some Palestinian authorities or spy chief or something and some Chinese military.
Really?
And there wasn't any such thing as any suicide bombers because the explosions came from the ceilings down in these rooms. And the so-called suicide bombers were just a plant, which made me think, because, you know, when they were telling the story, they were saying, like, well, she tried to do hers that wouldn't blow up or something, and I don't know how she got out if they were all blowing themselves up in the same place.
Yeah, well, they floated that business about how she was in the other side of the room. Did you see the damage? Being in the other side of the room would not save you.
Exactly. So evidently that was pretty much a plant that didn't. And I think the military, these Chinese and the Palestinians were all killed. Of course, they didn't mention those too much.
No, they weren't there.
And who would benefit by blowing those two up?
Gosh, I just can't imagine.
The same one that's benefiting from our war in Iraq, and the same one that wants us to go to war with Syria and Iran.
The same. Well, yeah. There's a yearning for just a world war in that region, and I don't get the reasoning behind it, Jethro. Honest to God, I don't.
Madness.
Yeah, garden variety textbook DSM-4 psychosis, sociopathy, for God's sakes.
Yes, insanity, strictly. And on the home front, you know, and now, as someone that you thought was a hero and working for the common man turns out to be another Judith Miller, and Bob Woodward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bob's all sleazed up.
Looks like Bob is getting well greased here. He's probably on the payroll too, and he was criticizing Fitzgerald and calling it a bunch of names and pretty much ridiculing the whole deal. Now he comes out saying, "Hold it, boys! You know that's not what happened."
And how do you know, Mr. Woodward? Well, I was there. They told me too.
Yeah, but I just can't tell you who it was. So,
it's a secret. But you know this guy was, he was, when you saw the book come out, you knew he was embedded.
Disgraceful.
You know, when he's given access to the president so he can write a puff piece, 250, 300 pages of pure puff piece PR, it's what Monica did to Bill.
Yeah, I think he wrote two, Bush at War and then another Bush book. And the Bush people were so elated at the... That's all the job that Woodward put in there, making Bush look good. I'm sure that his pockets are full of money, and he has just become just drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, well, he's number two at the Washington Post. He's made his money. Screw the rest of us. You know, that's the Republican approach to life.
Well, I don't see what's going to happen. Are the future generations are going to pay for this and pay big time? And I think we're going to see some damage in our own lifetimes. The war's over. You know, you got, and then here you go. You got Chalabi coming over here. He goes to Iran first, to get his marching orders.
Yep.
Then comes over here and speaks at the American Enterprise Institute and having these private meetings with them.
Hangs out with Rummy
no press allowed, no coverage, no questions, no nothing. So I think Chalabi's coming over. He's getting his palms greased. And then Condoleezza Rice, she's over making a surprise visit in Iraq. You know, she's over there paying off, over there giving money, trying to get the Sunnis. That's all she's doing. And she goes to, you know, the Israelis and the Palestinians, give them more money. They're not doing what we want them to just for the heck of it, just because we're so great, you know, we're such a great nation.
Right.
We're paying them all off.
Well, you know, early on, we tried to pay off the generals in the Iraqi army when we started this thing. Remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Republican approach. You know, never mind the soldiers, never mind their needs, never mind the armor, never mind the proper weaponry, never mind... serve them rotten food for $29 a day. It doesn't matter. It's only business.
Right. And the Sunni leaders, they're not playing the game that they want them to. And the people that follow them aren't playing the game, and they're causing us a lot of trouble over there. So we're going to go over and try to buy them off. That's the same game that, you know, we've always played, trying to buy somebody off, and then, you know, get them to turn the people's mind, and then they go off and we put them up somewhere in the United States, bring them over and make them citizens. This is all leading to just madness. And but the Democrats are starting to stand up now. Looks like we're getting some backbone. And to me, it looks like Cheney and Bush are kind of getting a little desperate there. The same message.
The same speech day after day after day.
Yeah.
The same name calling. The heat that they're beginning to feel is, I think I mentioned it last night, they know if they lose the Congress in 06, they're toast. And they know that... They know they run a real risk of that.
Right, and a lot of these moderate Republicans, they're backpedaling just as fast as they can, trying to distance themselves from Bush. I think even Santorum.
Yeah, when Rick Santorum won't show up for the speech at Toby Hanna, you know that Bush has political pneumonia.
Well, and it's all their own doing.
If you want to feel good about it, Jethro, you could say that, you know, we've been very inscrutable and our strategy and tactics have been just marvelous. It's taken 5 years, but we've fed them we've let them coil out their own rope. But that's from my standpoint, that's kind of cynical because that rope was coiled by, you know, 2,100 dead Americans in this war.
Right. Yeah. Hanging ourselves with their own slack. But there's still not a plan, and this Senate bill, I think, which passed, 98 to nothing on the making sure that...
Oh, the torture bill?
That was a torture bill, but also the plan, Bush has to come up with a plan for Iraq every month.
Oh, yeah.
Was the torture thing involved in, was that part of that bill?
No, I don't think it was, because torture was 90 to 9 or something like that.
Yeah, and they're still trying to get around that, too. It's just... There's no end to the devilry. You know, you just everywhere you look, there's something's tarnished, or it's, I don't know.
Yeah, every good thing has been made filthy is what it gets right down to, Jethro.
Well,
and it's going to take a hell of a house cleaning.
It looks like a room that was, you know, a museum quality room that rats have gotten into over the years, and you walk in and you're like, oh, you know, it's destroyed. The rats have been there. And that's what they're doing. And economically, everybody seems to think that the economy is booming and the housing and all this stuff. They're not seeing the underside of all that.
No, and they're not Look, these are all. I mean, it's, you know, if you go back to Aesop's fables or whatever, it's the grasshopper and the ant all over again. These guys are all grasshoppers. Eat, consume everything in sight, with no thought whatsoever for what comes after. Because, Jethro, we're dealing with people, you know, dear leader himself said, I don't know how history will view me because, well, I don't know if there will be a history. You know, if you don't even think the world's, and it ties in with the weird right-wing religion industry eschatology, where, you know, the world's going to end day after tomorrow because Jesus is coming down in his golden El Dorado and going to take us all off to the New Jerusalem. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But if you believe it, that means it's okay to you know, if it's not moving,
kill it.
Yeah, and if it is, steal it. You know, whatever. Because it's all going to end tomorrow anyway.
Well, I don't get that. You know, the Native American cultures, they try to live with, you know, the future generations way down the line in mind. And, you know, we're going to take some education opportunities away, and I think some health opportunities. We're basically creating generations and classes that are going to have no other alternative but to revolt. You know, we're creating a bunch of haves and have-nots, and the have-nots are going to outnumber the haves. You know.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of blood, a lot of death, a lot of grief.
If it continues the way it is, hopefully, you know, people are going to start waking up and realize what's going on, and 2006 vote these Republicans out, and balls start rolling from there. But the Democrats have to take the country back,
and they have to not be afraid to stand behind people like John Murtha when he makes a bold stand like what he did yesterday. Again, I don't agree with the guy on a lot because he's way too conservative for my taste, but at least he woke up and realized it's unwinnable. Victory is a canard in this debate. And if we don't get out, it's only going to get worse. But even Democrats were out. What's his name? Rahm Emanuel, chair of the Congressional Campaign Committee, came out and said, John Murtha does not speak for the Democratic Party. Those are John Murtha's words for, you know, that's John Murtha speaking for John Murtha. Great.
Well, there are still way too many Democrats that are still behind this and that are basically worried about what's going to happen if we do lose this. But it's already lost. And they're thinking that if we pull out everything right now, that everything's going to crumble. Well, now, you know what was it, the old car commercial?
Yeah.
You know, see me now or pay me later.
Yeah, it happens one way or the other.
Yeah, fix it now or, you know, we'll fix it later on down
Fram.
The line.
Fram. That was Fram.
As much.
Yeah. And the thing, well, Jethro, Democrats are scared to death because they've been so thoroughly tarred for the last 20, 25 years as being just a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of sissies. You know, they won't stand up for America. And they're afraid to come out and say, you know, and say what makes sense, and that is, we got to get out of there. This is screwed up beyond all recognition, and it's doing nobody any good by staying. You know, remember McGovern?
We need a George McGovern.
That man could be anti-war because he had the credibility. That man could be anti-war because he had flown mission after mission after mission in the nose of, what, a B-24, a B-25, B-17 over Europe. He knew the horror of it, and he wasn't afraid to be anti-war. We need people. Well, and it's the same. You know, it's the same thing with John Murtha in this instance. He's seen the blood in pools on the ground.
Right, and they can't. The thing about it is, you know, they're calling a lot of these people who are anti-war. Same thing as in Nam. They're anti-American if they're anti-war.
Right.
This guy, you can't call Representative Murtha anti-American or a traitor or anything like that because he has paid his dues. And some of these chicken hogs, like our local, the dumbest man in America who couldn't catch a fish if he had to, and want to talk bad about him and talk bad about Kerry and question his Silver Star and all this stuff.
They went,
and these chicken hogs did not. And the chicken hogs want this war, and they keep thinking that we're going to pull it out and that somehow, the good fairy is going to come down and swing her magic wand, and bingo, everything's going to turn around. I'm sorry. We're taking more casualties every day now.
Yep.
They are adjusting to our stuff, and we are still plodding down the road, you know, on patrol.
That's exactly it.
Same old stuff. They're adjusting. We're not. Their intelligence is still obviously better than ours.
Well, they live there.
It's not the boot troops. It's not their fault.
No.
They're the poor devils that are out there catching hell because some rear echelon guy at the desk is, you know, making up all the plans. Or they're getting it from D.C. Well, who is making the plan? Is there a plan?
There is no. Well, no, that's the thing. It's all just imaginary. Jethro, we got to hit the break.
Hi,
good,
Bob.
Good talking to you. Later.
Good talking to you. My best, Agnes.
Will do. It's Bye. Madness.
I hear you.
All right.
Hey, it's mad.
It is. Okay, we'll be back. This is Head On.
support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
What is the Fourth Estate?
You know, in old days, it wasn't about the exclusive. It was about telling the truth. It was about making sure the truth was portrayed in the media, you know, in print and in television and on the radio. And now the news has become a manufactured item. Today news that today's media is complicit. And what we want to do and what we're going to do and what we are doing with the Fourth Estate is to create a place, well, if you will, a safe haven for the truth.
Fourth Estate Radio. It's again time to hold them accountable.
For the latest details, visit fourthestateradio.com.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Privatization is one of the key talking points of the right wing these days. As with so many other issues, it's really nothing more than a new phrase for an old idea. In this case, laissez-faire capitalism. In theory, this means that the government should stay out of the business of running the economy. In practice, it means that the government exists to protect the interests of the rich and powerful above the interests of, well, everyone else. In slow stages, beginning at the end of the Civil War and reaching its apex from 1932 until around 1975, the American people rejected this notion of society. Years of child labor, low pay, long hours, and poor working conditions brought about a new paradigm, one based on the rights of working people and dedicated to the idea that the government can be a force for good in people's lives. Well, while the New Deal was far from perfect, it did more than any public or private program before or since to make the lives of working people better. Over the last 30 years, corporate power has reemerged and conditions for working people have been slowly eroding, and if things keep going the way they are, we'll be right back to where we started a century and a half ago. Maybe that's what it'll take for working people to start standing up for their rights again. I guess we'll have to find out. But whatever path this country takes, the road to privatization is the road to ruin. New packaging can't change a defective product, after all. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. 25 and a half minutes before the hour, halfway through on a Friday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone numbers, of course, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366. Slow down. And, of course, 304-658-3333. Bob@HeadOnRadio.com is the email address. I want to go back, if we could, please, dear, to Congressman Murtha's comments again. I'm afraid we might have got it might have all got lost in the shuffle. The second one. Let's hear this.
You want these leaders to listen to you to make a policy change, but there is politics involved here. The president's press secretary, Scott McClellan, said that you are endorsing the policy positions of Michael Moore and the extreme liberal wing of the party.
I ignore that, Nora. You can say this because you think you have to say it. I'm telling you the substance of what I'm saying is our troops have become the targets. Our troops are now the enemy of the Iraqi people.
Yes. And, you know, you can hear what I was talking about with that twit, Nora, what I can't even remember her last name. I should write it down sometime. Some professional journalist I am. She wanted a fight. She wanted to try to embarrass him. She wanted to try to get him to froth and foam at the mouth like some rabid right-winger would tend to do. He didn't take the bait. You know, this guy, compare this guy with his 34 years, his two Purple Hearts, his Bronze Star with a V, his Vietnamese Gallantry Medal. Compare this guy with the general in Iraq who said, one of ours, supposedly, who said, if we pull out, if we leave... Why does there always have to? What is it? What's the cross connect between military operations and sexuality? There are dozens of them. I'm not going to go into it. But this idea, and this general said it for God's sakes. He said, you know, if we leave, then the 221 Marines I've lost this year died in vain. No. No. If we leave, then the 222nd, 223rd, 224th, on and on, those guys don't die in vain. You can't do it. You can't do anything for the dead. They're very busy being dead. It's sad. Jesus, it's sad. That guy's got 221 dead Marines on his roster because George Bush lost his patience. He's got 221 dead Marines on his roster because they weren't sent in there to do with the wherewithal to do the job that they didn't even necessarily know what was gonna be done. There was no plan. There was no plan. This punk of a president who ran around in 2000 campaign, well, we didn't have a exit strategy for Kosovo, and if I get to be president, I'm always going to have a exit strategy. Really? Where is it? We'd like to see the exit strategy for Iraq. Well, we don't... If you press them for an exit strategy, you know the answers that you get. Well, the exit strategy is total victory. Hoo-ah! There can be no total victory. You know, but Cheney said it a couple of weeks ago. We're going to be there for decades. My grandchildren could wind up fighting in Iraq if the Republicans get their bloody way. The reason they can't be called on for an exit strategy is because, no, screw victory. There's no victory. They know there's no victory. They don't care about victory. They just want to be there. They want to be there now. They want to be there tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next decade. They want to be there because these people want empire. They want Washington, D.C. to be an imperial capital, and they want empire. It's the natural extension of the shameless, endless Republican lust, absolute bloodlust for power and control. They want to own the oil fields. They want to divvy them up to the highest bidder. And again, I didn't have time to go and find it during the break, but go and it was an Associated Press story. Here, let me see. I think, yeah. A real-life, honest-to-God journalism newspaper. No. Accused Atlanta gunman. No. Boy ordered back to parents. No. Facility. No. Heart surgeons. No. Tara Boulevard. No. Whole bunch of ads. Nope. No. Let's, argument for executing a black man. No. Well, not that part of the paper. I lose. Go find the story about the bribery at the Coalition Provisional Authority. You know, I'm sure Rummy could come out and tell it, that was just one dead ender. We're turning a corner on bribery. Read the damned bribery story. A guy in Fayetteville, North Carolina, I mentioned it earlier, busted for shaking down contractors in Iraq for everything under the sun. You know, he had the dirty, dusty little job of awarding contracts and for the Coalition Provisional Authority, and, you know, he just wanted a little sweetening on the side. That is the face of the Iraq War. I mean, I just went through today's A section of the newspaper. The Charleston Gazette, it was in there. But God, it wasn't in the sports, it was in like the C or the D section. It was there, I saw it. And it was hidden. And it should have been above the fold. Flash! Coalition Provisional Authority front for bribery scheme. It's all about the money. It's about the business. It's about the cronies. It's about the opportunities. You know, it's not Woodrow Wilson saying we're going to make the world safe for democracy. It's George Bush saying we're going to make Iraq safe for cronies and pals and old buddies from Yale and Skull and Bonesmen. That is the face of the Iraq War. The grieving, weeping face of a mother whose only son died for no damned good reason in the filthy, bloody, stinking sands of Iraq is not the face of the Iraq War. It's the smile on the face of Dick Cheney, who had other priorities besides serving his country while John Murtha was getting shot at in Vietnam. The half-smirk, half-snarl of Dick Cheney is the face of the Iraq War. The greasy palms of Ahmed Chalabi and the grasping fists of his henchmen, those are the true picture of the Iraq War. So what if we've lost, 2,100 Americans fighting for no good reason in a place they ought not be? So what? So what? Because baby. They're making money hand over fist like they couldn't even begin to dream of making it here. You get it? I'm sure you do. I mean, the normal people, the decent people, the liberals, the progressives, the Democrats. Most of us have known all along what this was about. And John Murtha just happened to put a face on it. Let's take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, perhaps. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Take a look back from the caboose.
follow the tracks of my life, the tangled about lying true. And I know it's just me, my point of view, those are the important two. Yeah, I don't need to check with a crown. Wouldn't it be nice to be proud? Door was open into the night. I jumped through and turned on the light. I started to see, though it wasn't that bright. I saw light in the sky, but it wasn't all blue. My answers weren't right, but I didn't want to lose. So I'd put up a fight and scream out loud. Wouldn't it be nice to be proud? And when it all is clear, time to repair disappears, taking with it.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour. I love you guys. I got a call. The story that I was talking about, the bribery story.
Caravaggio's.
Yes, Caravaggio. God? Is that you? Page five of Section D of the Charleston paper today. God only knows where it got buried in the New York Times or the Washington Post. An Associated Press story. I'll just read to you. I hear that's popular. A second man has been charged in a scheme that saw a U.S. businessman pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to U.S. occupation authorities in Iraq to get reconstruction contracts worth more than $13 million. Robert J. Stein, Jr. worked for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq, and his wife paid for real estate, cars, jewelry, and home improvements with money he received from Philip H. Bloom, a U.S. citizen who has lived in Romania for many years, according to federal affidavits made public Wednesday. One person who received payments is a Defense Department employee, according to a government official who spoke on condition of anonymity, blah, blah, blah. Both men face conspiracy and money laundering charges. Stein, who was convicted on a federal fraud charge in 1996, also is charged with what? Did you get that part? The guy who was shaking down contractors for the Coalition Provisional Authority, well, he got rung up in 1996 on wire fraud and interstate transportation of stolen property. This is how you get a job in the Bush administration, for God's sakes. What? You got a prior rap sheet with wire fraud and money laundering and interstate transportation of stolen property? Come on in, brother. Have we got a job for you? It's a little dirty and a little dusty and a little bit dangerous, but we want to send you over to the Coalition Provisional Authority. It's just the place for you. We got a lot of reconstructing to do. And that's going to take a lot of, well, it's going to take a lot of extra influence. My God. Here's the good part. Jim Mitchell is a spokesman for the Special Inspector General for Iraq. What did he say? He said, this is the first case and there will be more. Well, I look for Mr. Stein, Mr. Robert J. Stein, Jr. I look for him to get a Presidential Medal of Freedom just about any day now. 8.8 billion dollars we lost in the sofa of the CPA over there? Bet Mr. Stein knows where a little bit of it is. Now, Justice Department officials said they're unaware of previous indictments arising from contracting fraud in post-war Iraq. Bloom conspired with officials of the Coalition Provisional Authority and the U.S. military to rig bids for contracts in Al-Hilah and Karbala, two cities 50 to 60 miles south of Baghdad. In some cases, Bloom's companies performed no work. My God, what is it with these Republicans who don't want to work? Kanawha County, we got a prosecutor, Bill Charnock, who wouldn't show up to work while he was working for the Prosecuting Attorneys Institute and still drew his breath and his pay. And in Iraq, far-flung Iraq, we're paying people not to work. Jesus, this is straight out of Catch-22. This isn't funny anymore. Bloom or companies he controls made bank deposits of $353,000 on behalf of at least two CPA officials and bought them real estate in North Carolina, vehicles and jewelry worth more than $280,000 in 2004 and 2005. Page 5D. Not 1A. Not even below the fold. And this isn't out of the ordinary. This is the ordinary. This is the way Republicans like to run a war. Graft and filth. How do you look at the weeping mother of a dead Marine and say, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but your son died so Robert Stein could get a $353,000 bribe, ma'am"? No wonder Bush won't show up at the funerals. No wonder at all. What do you do with this kind of evil? You know, there's that line in the Untouchables movie where Kevin Costner as Elliot Ness says something about, you know, people who offered bribes in ancient Rome were thrown in a bag with a crazed wolf and dumped in the Tiber River. I'm all for it! This is sickening. This is just sickening. War profiteering. The business of America is business. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
From the long arm of the law, lawmen is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you a crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. a paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Cold as fishy swan. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. The weekend's almost here. I think I'm the first man in America to despise his weekend. Ah, kid, it's nice to have time with the family. But just picking up where we left off, just so you won't... at one point, Bloom was paying at least $200,000 a month to Coalition Provisional Authority officials. Bribes. But, nothing here, move along. Hey, wait a minute! Isn't that girl still missing in Aruba? So it's just all it's okay. A couple of nice emails. Our pal David in South Carolina says Fitzgerald has begun to present the next phase to a new grand jury. I think the Republicans may have celebrated a little early. I don't believe he would carry this case to a new grand jury if he wasn't going for more indictments. Well, grand jury service is a pain in the butt. And you don't just, you don't just sit there and waste their time. You don't just impanel a grand jury, and then, let them sit around for a month of Sundays for no good reason. It's expensive. That $10 a day will mount up. So, Fitzgiving may be a little bit late. But Fitzmas came. Fitzgiving can't be far behind. Or happy Fitz year. That's a possibility. And another legal note from our friend Victor. Michael Scanlon. Now, where have we heard his name before? Oh, I remember! Michael Scanlon is the guy who called religious conservatives wackos. In his emailing, explaining how the Republican Party uses their well-intentioned, I think they're hateful, but uses them to work up their right-wing priority list. Yeah, the Christian wackos. Yeah, Michael Scanlon apparently has agreed, according to Raw Story, a wonderful little site, little. They're not little. They're, my God, yeah, they're pretty huge. Michael Scanlon has agreed to testify against one-time business partner Jack Abramoff in any future criminal case involving the ex-lobbying superstar, according to a report in Roll Call today. The Justice Department has filed a criminal information document in federal court related to Scanlon, and there will be a hearing before a federal judge Monday afternoon. Now, that's the key. You gotta come. You're either indicted, you're either charged by indictment, or you're charged by an information. And about 9 times out of 10, when you're charged by an information, well, you have to consent to be charged by information as opposed to indictment. And so when you see that, you know, he'll plead to an information, that means he's reached a deal. And the deal here is that he is going to drop the dime on Jack Abramoff, and, we all remember who Jack Abramoff's buddy is. I always feel sorry for those poor Brams. No, Tom DeLay. So, you know, Tom DeLay may be getting fitted for his orange jumpsuit and the little orange shower shoes. So, you know, there are nice things happening. It would be, well, I'm going to follow. I'm going to try to, and I hope you will too, try to keep track of this Robert Stein and Philip Bloom story, bribery. Yeah, you know, you send them to Maxwell Air Force Base or that little outfit in Ashland, Kentucky. You know, one of those so-called country club prisons where, you know, where Republicans go. When you so thoroughly wish that Mr. Stein was going to get to go to a maximum security facility. Be somebody's little boyfriend. Yeah, I don't, I got no mercy. You know, I on the continuum of criminal conduct, frankly, I have more mercy for a guy who's stealing to support his habit than a rich guy who's stealing. Well, there's another habit involved there, too, isn't there? The guy who's stealing to support his crack habit is no different from the guy who is stealing to support his greed habit. But I have a little more sympathy for the guy on the lower end of the rung, on the lower rungs of the ladder. And I think I may be the only person in the world who does. And by the way, while Gene Schmidt was out there calling John Murtha a coward today, bless his heart, Russ Feingold came out and supported him. He commended Representative John Murtha today for calling for the immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops. He said, "I'm not surprised that someone's doing it, and I'm not surprised that it's Representative Murtha because he has shown a consistent courage in pointing out the flaws in this policy." Representative Murtha's statement is a very important one, Senator Feingold said. And he's the one, of course, Feingold, who called for a timetable in the first place. And Congressman Murtha, how else do you get the Iraqis to stand on their feet? You know, that's the line we hear from Bush Cheney. The United States will stand down when the Iraqis stand up. You know, this isn't musical freaking chairs, George. This is war and blood and death. We realize that you've never seen it. We realize that you and Dick avoided it for all you were worth. But it is very real for the people who are in it. And cute, catchy little phrases like, we'll stand down when they stand up. It doesn't cut it. America isn't buying it anymore, George. They don't like it. It's mean-spirited. It's hateful. And more than anything else, like everything you do, it's dirt ignorant. So no more, we'll stand down when they stand up. No more of that. No more. The Iraqis need to know that we're going to be gone on a date certain and that they have until then to get their act together. Feingold went on and said, Representative Murtha is pointing out that we're not getting any cooperation from the administration where it concerns a plan to finish the job in Iraq and bring the troops home. They don't want the troops to come home. In the ancient days of the Roman Empire, entire legions would be sent away from Rome and garrisoned somewhere far, far away, and the last thing the emperor wanted was for them to come home, because they made it harder on the emperor. The Republicans don't want our sons and daughters, cousins, brothers, sisters, uncles, fathers, mothers that are in Iraq. They don't want them home. How many parades have there been for returning Iraqi veterans? Not allowed to see the funerals, not allowed to see the caskets coming home. We very seldom see the wounded. Out of sight, out of mind. Oh, God. And it's time for a break. This is Head On.
At a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Shine as fast as tonight.
I'm Bob. This is Head On. Welcome back. About 19 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333 if you want to jump in. And, you know, Dear Leader's off on his world gallivant. Fuel prices are through the roof, so George decides to jump on jump in his personal 747 and fly to Outer Mongolia. Not kidding. And, you know, he was in South Korea. And, you know, did you see that photo of him in South Korea? I don't know, slept in his clothes or something. The guy's going to meet the president of South Korea, and George Bush can't even put on a necktie. It was embarrassing. A necktie, for God's sakes. He's got that same blue shirt he's been wearing since he went down to New Orleans to see the Katrina victims. And a jacket and no necktie. Standing there meeting the president of another country. What kind of an image does that present? God, he makes us all just look so bad. But, you know, that's the thing. So he goes, so George flies away, and then the news comes out. Today, South Korea revealed plans to withdraw about a third of its 3,200 troops from Iraq. And that was a day after Dear Leader thanked Roh Moo-hyun, his South Korean counterpart, for helping democracy flourish in the Middle East. And the South Korean foreign minister, Ban Ki-moon, said, We are currently in a situation where we have to get the approval of the National Assembly to extend their stay. We will comprehensively take into consideration the situation in Iraq in terms of political and politics and progress, the social situation and security. See, over in Iraq, or over in South Korea, I should say, over in South Korea, they have a legislative body that doesn't just bow down and kiss the feet of the executive. Well, on the other hand, we've talked so much about Congressman Murtha. He had with him yesterday a resolution calling for the withdrawal from Iraq. And here's what it said. Therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that, Section 1, the deployment of United States forces in Iraq by direction of Congress is hereby terminated and forces involved are to be redeployed at the earliest practicable date. Section 2, a quick reaction U.S. force and an over-the-horizon presence of U.S. Marines shall be deployed in the region. Section 3, the United States of America shall pursue security and stability in Iraq through diplomacy. Now, this hot potato was thrown into the House of Representatives. And we've already seen what a screaming hissy fit it caused. You know, it made Gene Schmidt, that famous warrior, come out and call Congressman Murtha a coward. Dennis Hastert did the same thing. Dick Cheney said he had no backbone. Yeah, they can't get me for my thoughts. And so this resolution was taken and redrafted. And I don't know what the fate of it was. It was said to be scheduled for a vote today, but I lost track of it. The Republicans redrafted it and changed it around, and now it just says, expressing the sense of the House of Representatives that the deployment of the United States forces in Iraq be terminated immediately, resolved that it is the sense of the House of Representatives that the deployment of United States forces in Iraq be terminated immediately. None of the rationale, none of the reasonings, none of the thought-provoking stuff like the over-the-horizon force and the Marines and pursuing stability in Iraq through diplomacy. None of that. Just pull them out. Because, as usual, a Republican doesn't give a tinker's damn about, you know, the life of one of those Marines in Anbar province. A Republican doesn't give a tinker's damn about some Army private's life on the streets outside the green zone. They just want to play politics with it. You remember when Bill the Cat Killer Frist came out a week or so ago after Harry Reid pulled a little parliamentary hoodoo on him in the Senate and shut the Senate down for a couple of hours, and Frist came storming out. It's a stunt. It was a stunt. It was a dirty little stunt. Harry Reid done pulled a stunt on me. What do you call this? There's your stunt. You take the heart-rending effort of somebody like John Murtha, who did not travel this road easily, coming to the point where he realizes that the troops have to come home. Okay. It was not an easy trip. And now, the Republicans redraft it just to say, we just pull it out. We're just pulling out. Just quitting. Because John Murtha is a big old sissy boy. Oh, you pray for justice. If you're a praying type, you pray for justice. The really stirring divine kind. And it breaks your heart to know that it ain't going to happen. But Lord, what would it be like for those people who have called John Murtha a coward if God really was walking around with just having fun with the little lightning? Hey, Gene Schmidt! Bzzzt. Yeah, okay, we've got some data here. The war resolution, 77 for, 84 against. And that's 10 minutes or so remaining in the vote. It's apparently on C-SPAN. I'll see what I can find out during the break. And once this is over with, they'll come out and say, see, everybody still loves this here war. Appreciate the info, Jim. This is a good war. It's a noble war. It's a noble cause. It's just a noble cause. Oh, they make me sick. They just make me sick. And, let's see. I will. We're going to take a break and I'll have a look over at C-SPAN. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What is the Fourth Estate?
You know, in old days, it wasn't about the exclusive. It was about telling the truth. It was about making sure the truth was portrayed in the media, you know, in print and in television, on the radio. And now the news has become a manufactured item. Today news that today's media is complicit. And what we want to do and what we're going to do and what we are doing with the Fourth Estate is to create a place, well, if you will, a safe haven for the truth.
Fourth Estate Radio. It's again time to hold them accountable.
For the latest details, visit fourthestateradio.com.
Welcome back. 27 minutes in front of the hour. Friday's almost here for me. I checked in over at C-SPAN during the break. You gotta, with this resolution, Mirtha's resolution was be it, you know, start, therefore be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives. It was meaningful and it had force. So what the Republicans did is, they expressed a sense of the House of Representatives, which, of course, is meaningless and has no force, no binding effect. And the voting is taking place even as we speak. with Republicans voting in favor of it and Democrats voting against it, because it has no teeth. It has no meaning. It has no reality to call its own. Meanwhile, over at Roll Call, we're finding out that Congressman Murtha may be finding out just exactly how these little pig-eyed Republicans work. Because there is talk of a reference of Senator Murtha to the Ethics Committee. Because of his ties to a lobbying firm that his brother owns, KSA Consulting, something like that. That's how you deal with it. And you know, he pointed it out. Murtha to NBC, that one. There we go.
You want these leaders to listen to you to make a policy change, but there is politics involved here. The president's press secretary, Scott McClellan, said that you are endorsing the policy positions of Michael Moore and the extreme liberal wing of the party.
I ignore that, Nora. You can say this because you think you have to say it. I'm telling you the substance of what I'm saying is our troops are become the targets. Our troops are now the enemy of the Iraqi people.
See how it works? They bring out the smears. Yeah, and now they're gonna they'll try to play havoc with him in the ethics committee. Fortunately, the ethics committee is almost toothless anyway.
The fools, the mad fools.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm still waiting. Have you heard it? I haven't heard it. Have you heard a Republican come out and say that attacks aren't up to 700? Have you heard a Republican come out and refute a single point that Congressman Murtha made? Have you heard them come out and refute his claim that unemployment is at 60% in Iraq? Have you heard them refute the secret Ministry of Defense study conducted by the British that says that 40% of Iraqis think it's okay to kill Americans because, you know, we're Americans? And that number rises to 65% when you get down closer to Basra? Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I need to put... I'll put my electric guitar away until... Has any of that been refuted? Has it been refuted that we are the enemy there now? Now, they can make it up as they go along and talk about how happy things are over there. But the facts don't support it. And I guess the vote is now 185 to 182.
Okie doke. All right. Thanks, Jim.
Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Huh. It carried. Thanks, Jim. Now, that's weird. But, again, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. Because it's just a sense of the House of Representatives. And for the Democrats who voted against it, well, you know how it goes. Well, they were for it before they were against it. There's tomorrow morning's talking point. Oh, and a little something, again, from Raw Story. There was a congressional report released yesterday, Thursday, that analyzed military recruiting and reenlistment shows that the military has been failing to adequately fill many of its most vital combat job occupations for the last 5 years. It's a GAO report. Shows that 41% of the military's 1,484 job specialties have been consistently understaffed over the past 5 years. For the active duty Army, the Reserves, and the National Guard, the recruiting shortfalls of the past years have been even more severe than the aggregate numbers imply. That's the last 5 years. Let's see, 2005 minus 5, that would be 2000. Yeah. Huh. Wonder who's been understaffing the military. Of course, you remember when he campaigned in 2000, he said, unfortunately, we have divisions that if they were needed at this point would have to respond, sorry, Mr. President, not ready for duty, sir. Okay, it hasn't carried. It's 192, yes, 194, no. Eh. It remains to be seen. All the dirty little masks are coming off. Understaffed military in the critical combat job occupations. Thanks, George. Thanks a million, buddy. Hey, but I support the troops. Oh, and apparently, Don Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney are rubbing off on people. Iraq's interior minister, this from CNN, Iraq's interior minister has defended a government facility that was found to be holding dozens of prisoners. We talked about that, the 173 tortured people. He said they were the facility held the most criminal terrorists. Those detainees, those criminal killers inside the bunker, were not Indians or Pakistanis or Iranians. Those are your Arab brothers that came here to kill your sons. Yeah, okay. We are a government and we are responsible for protecting you. The detainees are the sons of Iraq. Even if they make mistakes, it is not for us to decide this. Torture, torture everywhere. Inspiring, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And, of course, there's a little international outcry, but, who gives a damn? And an email from our pal Sue down on Big Coal River. She says, my youngest son said the other day that he grew up feeling safe, that America was the greatest country in the world, and now he feels betrayed that this isn't the same country. I feel the same, she says. This is all so unreal, it just can't be happening here. I'm waiting any minute to hear the music from the Twilight Zone playing. This administration is so corrupt and rotten, it's like something out of a sicko movie. Yeah, it is, Sue. Yeah, maybe in 2006 and 2008 the nightmare ends. Hey, there's a slogan. Wake up from the nightmare. Vote Democrat. So, let's see. We got a phone call here. Yeah, Gary. Hey, you're head on. Gary. Okay, put him back on hold. Now, there. Wait. Time out, folks. There you are, Gary.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm holding up, I guess.
You're having technical problems, too.
Well, it has something to do with the fact that my lovely wife doesn't have eight arms like Shiva.
Phones and weren't working, so maybe it's going around.
What's up tonight?
Oh, I'm just listening to your show, and as usual, not agreeing with you.
Oh, well, that's your right.
Now, this Murtha guy, now look, he is a Democrat. This is a totally partisan thing, Bob.
It is?
Yeah.
He seems to me to be concerned with the troops. I mean, the guy's certainly got the street cred for it, right?
Well, I mean, I can't say anybody's credentials, and some of the things that people said about him I don't think sound right. I mean, the guy's
34 years in the Marines?
Yeah. But it's still politics, Bob.
Well, of course it's politics. But what of his idea do you disagree with, Gary?
Well, for right now, I think if we cut and run, it's going to be a total, absolute disaster. It'll create a power vacuum. Probably Al Zucker will run the country tomorrow. No way.
Well, what happens when we do leave? It's the same thing. We do it today and it happens, or we do it 10 years from now and it still happens.
No, we follow the plan.
What plan? Where's the plan?
Bob, you got to give it time. We're making better progress now than anybody could ever have imagined.
Gary, you've been into the homebrew tonight, haven't you?
No, Bob, I haven't.
Should maybe we have had a plan before we went in?
Oh, we had a plan before we went in. And I'm not saying it's been carried out in the best fashion by any means. I think this war has probably been bungled in quite a few places.
Well, for instance,
right now, to go this far and to get as close as we are to the final conclusion, No, you just can't do it. I mean,
you know, Gary, you know stuff that I don't know, and I'd appreciate being enlightened. What is the final conclusion?
The final conclusion is democracy in the Middle East, especially in Iraq, which will cause it to take place in other countries.
Will they have democracy even if they don't want it?
They want it, though, Bob. You know, you could have made the same exact argument about Japan.
No, you couldn't have. No, you couldn't have because they had established...
They had established dictatorships.
No. Germany had... My God, the Reichstag was there. They had representative government.
Now, are you going to tell me that Hitler's Germany was representative government?
No, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that that's what Hitler supplanted a representative government.
Well, yes, he did.
All right, but they had experience with it. The Iraqis, no Arabic state has experience with democracy or with representative self-government. And in fact, in large part, and you know, some of my more liberal and progressive friends may get angry with me for this, but in large part, it has to do with the fact that socio-politically, Gary, they are religiously disinclined toward democracy. Their history and their heritage, in terms of Islam, speaks of a hereditary caliphate, and it's directly antithetical to democracy.
You can look back at any culture. And go back to a time when they were just like they are over there, when they had strongman rule. I mean, you can look back at where we came from.
Everything that happened in the Athenian experiment was cast aside and thrown away during the church's rule of Europe in the Middle Ages.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, Abraham Lincoln called it an experiment, and that's what it is. But I'll tell you what, even if it's an experiment, we've had 200 pretty darn good years.
Well, yeah, we have, but even that has devolved to a certain extent.
It has, yes.
But what's going on in Iraq? You know, you talk about a plan and you talk about a final conclusion. There is nothing to indicate to us whatsoever that democracy is going to last over there. The minute that we leave, Gary, the very minute we leave, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, the whole place goes to hell in a handcar.
Bob, that's just an opinion.
But it's an opinion supported by facts, Gary.
How can it be supported by facts when it hasn't happened yet?
Because the facts on the ground right now point to it happening. What facts are there that suggest that democracy is going?
Argument. Other people could say that there are indications that it'll go the other way.
Right, and I'm waiting for them, and I still don't hear them.
Well, okay, you know, Bob, once people get a taste of freedom, they don't want to give it up. And that's what those people need. Once they've got a taste of it, once they see what it's like to wake up and not have to worry about being drug out in the street and shot because you said the wrong thing that day, they're not going to want to go back to any other way of living.
That's what's happening now.
Well, it's still too early, and I'll tell you why it's too early, because the country's in a state of war. I mean, it's still an extremely dangerous place to be.
But the war that they're in a state of with is with us.
Well, I know.
We're the enemy over there. You know, Murtha pointed that out very clearly.
That's what Murtha says. But, you know, I'm just not buying that. Now, we are fighting an insurgency. There are certain specific people we are against. We're not against the average person in Iraq. Never have been.
Well, but we know for a fact, Gary, we know for a fact that 45% of the people in that country think it's okay to kill us.
Well, it was probably at 85% when we first went in.
No, actually, it was lower. It was significantly lower.
You know,
this could have been an unbungled operation. You know, okay, thank you very much for getting rid of Saddam. Now leave. That's what they wanted. And we'll sort it out amongst ourselves.
Well, maybe that's what they should have done. I don't know. I do know this, that I was all for taking Saddam Hussein out of power. He was one of the worst people who's ever lived in history. I'm glad we
Gary.
Did. Yes, he absolutely was. Did you realize that?
You're putting Saddam Hussein up with Genghis Khan? You're putting Saddam Hussein up with Hitler?
8,000 people a month, Bob. Over 1 million people since he took over. 1 million people. And that didn't include all the people who got killed in wars with Iran and everything else. This guy, you could probably say, is directly responsible for probably at least 2 to 3 million people being dead. He is
and
a
we,
very, very bad guy.
And,
you read about what his son's done. I mean, these guys were satanic.
Now, very, very bad man. I understand that whole rationale, Gary. But can we at least acknowledge the fact that he was our very, very bad man? That for... that all through the Reagan years and through the Bush 1 years up until he went into Kuwait, he was our very bad man. I mean, you've seen the photograph of Rumsfeld shaking his hand and grinning like, you know, he's meeting Santa Claus, right?
Well, one of our major downfalls in our foreign policy is the type of people that we have done business with and made friends with. It was a mistake. It was a mistake from the very beginning. And not only Saddam, but all kinds of bad people throughout the world we've done business with like that.
Well, there's Aslam Karimov up in Kazakhstan. I believe it's Kazakhstan. He boils his political opponents alive.
Yeah.
He puts gas masks on them and fills it with chlorine gas. He's our buddy.
Yeah, well, we
so,
have
you know,
a policy of expedience, and that's it, not principle.
But the fact of the matter, I don't see... I'm flabbergasted, Gary. I can't imagine where is the success in Iraq going to come from?
Well,
when do we start seeing signs of it, even little bitty signs?
You know, Bob...
I mean, they're assassinating Saddam's trial lawyers. This is not something that a culture does or a people do who are dedicated to the rule of law.
There's a lot of people that are not dedicated to the rule of law. You stop to think.
We can't kill them all.
What are the vested interests over there? You know, there is not one country in the Middle East that wants to see us succeed. Because if Iraq becomes a democracy, that means all these other little dictatorships go down the tubes. And they know it. I mean, it's hard telling whether...
What they're scared of, you talk about wanting to see us succeed, what the other countries in the Middle East are scared of, Gary, is the fundamentalists like bin Laden's people and the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia who try to export their Islamic extremism to other so-called moderate Sunni nations.
So, in other words, you're telling me that not only are they afraid of Osama bin Laden, but they'd be afraid of us, too, because they do not want democracy, and they do not want Osama. So maybe they're sort of caught in the jaws of a vice or something.
Well, they don't want Osama's fundamentalism, and they don't want to be a puppet state of the United States. You know, that's one of the... There is a yearning for freedom, but right now the people in Iraq, the freedom that they're yearning for is freedom from us. The Constitution says that nothing may take place in Iraqi secular law that contradicts Sharia law.
Yeah.
We've got 2,100 dead Americans dying for the possibility of putting women in burqas where they lived in civil society under Saddam.
Yeah.
That's not worth dying for. I believe what you want to believe the whole wide world over. You know how I feel about religion. But don't ask American men and women to die so that you can put a woman back in a burqa.
I don't think that's what it's all about, Bob. I mean, but this war has divided the country. I think it's criminal the way it's divided the country because I don't know. It's gotten to the point anymore where I don't even know where to start. I mean, I was for the war in certain aspects, but at least I think they could declare it to be a war. And that once we get over there, they could put enough troops on the ground for us to win the war. It's like it's so half-baked from so many perspectives.
It's run by a bunch of criminal... Gary, it's run by a bunch of damn criminal incompetence. You know, General Shinseki told them, if you're going to do this, you're going to need this many men.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't...
And they fired him for it.
I really don't know what to say about it. I mean, in principle, the principle of removing Saddam Hussein, I was absolutely for. But if we can't get into a war and go in and go win because of our own incompetency, I mean, we might as well just pack up and go home, which I think is what's going to happen.
Let me ask you this. We're just going to play some rank speculation, Gary, and we've got to finish up pretty quick. But okay. If you knew If you had some sort of crystal ball or something, and you knew that within a year of us, instead of starting the war in March of 2003, if you had a crystal ball that said Saddam would fall of his own weight in a year's time, would you still start the war?
No.
Well, I've seen estimates out there that said he was, you know, he was on the verge of being toppled internally.
Well, that's just speculation.
It is just speculation, but the point is, why can't we let other people solve their own damn problems? Why can't we follow the advice of somebody like George Washington, who in his farewell address said, avoid foreign entanglements?
Well, you know, Bob, it's a lot smaller world today. And what if you applied that analogy to World War II and Hitler and Mussolini and Hirohito?
Well, you can't apply that principle to World War II because we were directly attacked. George Washington did not say, don't defend yourself. He said, avoid foreign entanglements.
Well, you know...
because at that point in time, the world was divided between those who were loyal to the French and those who were loyal to the British.
Was Saddam Hussein a terrorist?
Per se, no.
Well, I mean,
he's a brutal dictator, I think.
$25,000 bounty for every bomber that went over and blew themselves up over in Israel.
He gave the $25,000 to the families of the people who did it.
Well,
it was after the fact. It's not like the bomber got a big party the night before he strapped on the belt.
They figured they had their party the next day.
But our pals, the Saudis, do that too, Gary, and they still do it. You know, kind of sleazy rice the other day.
The Saudi royal family does that?
Yeah, through the charities. My God, do you go Google up World Association of Muslim Youth. There was a crown princess of Saudi Arabia was caught funneling money straight to Al-Qaeda.
Mm.
You know? I mean, don't peg Saddam for something that the rest of the Arab world does, too, because charity to widows and orphans, which is what a bomber's family becomes after he's blown himself up, is a central tenet of the Quran and most of the cultural stuff in that area, too.
Yeah, but
Jesus was big on it, too.
It could also be viewed as a reward. But let me ask you one quick question, because I know you got to go here pretty quick.
Yeah.
Did we or did we not make a major fundamental mistake when after the 73 oil embargo, we did not get serious about energy independence in this country?
Yeah, that was pure junkie behavior.
Yeah, because that's what's got us over there today. Anyway.
Yeah, we got our fix, and yeah, Chevrolet put out some Vegas, and yeah, Ford put out some Pintos, and a few years later, Lee Iacocca developed the K car.
So, really, I think...
But that, yeah, you're right, that's where we screwed ourselves, sure.
Well, who's behind all that?
Who was behind it?
Yeah.
Detroit was behind it.
Well, you know, it's the oil companies.
And them, too.
I mean, you know, I mean, these big energy conglomerates, I mean, that's where they're making their money. They don't want to see us energy independent.
No. Neither do the oil-producing nations. We are their junkies.
Yeah.
Dealers don't think, you know, you don't have the dealer doesn't have the junkie over for Thanksgiving dinner.
So really, we're just our own worst enemies, what it all boils down to.
In many ways, sure.
I mean, because, you know, I watch this energy thing. You know, I'm kind of an energy junkie, but I've been watching it for years, and it's just amazed me how we haven't done anything at all to get away from this. And because of it, we are in one very bad situation right now. The country's divided up.
And it's going to get worse.
It's not looking good.
No.
It's not.
The rest of the world's getting ready for it. We're busy being grasshoppers while the rest of the world's being ants. We do have to get out of here, though, Gary.
Hey, Bob, thank you.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And a great weekend to everybody else who joined this evening. Whether just listening, calling, emailing, I sure do appreciate every last little bit of it. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Provides our streaming services as well as our archives. We're terribly grateful. And, of course, Randy Kerbway engineered this whole beautiful setup. And it's brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters.